Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 14th and only 14th episode of Tavern Tussle. Does your birthmark give you special powers?
Can your barbarian learn how to shoot firebolts? Find out this week on Tavern Tussle. No matter where you lay your head to rest, whether it be a tavern, a campsite, your home, or some deep dark cavern, you awake on the cold, damp, dirt floor, surrounded by a dense, gray, foggy mist. You wait, wondering where you are. Slowly, a path forms, cut through the mist before you. Your only option is to follow the path. You head down the path for quite some time. You do not know when this path is going to end. But you hear something. Something is approaching you. You cannot see it. A creature flies out of the mist, a pale, red-eyed, long-nailed creature, and it is hungry. Skin and bones, it looks as if it has not eaten, and you are going to be its meal. The creature attacks. You survive, somehow. You slain this creature. It turns to dust, and still, only the path is before you. You travel for what feels like hours. The path begins to open. You exit the mist, and before you, a tall four-story house and a black carriage drawn by six black horses, and you have entered Barovia.
Ba-da-da! Now!
Now! We do not have the rights to that music.
Oh, fuck, you're right. I don't. No. But that was how you opened up your Curse of Strahd campaign. We were all by ourselves. No one was around us. It was fucking crazy. I didn't know what was going on. It was awesome.
I wanted to keep it as mysterious as possible.
Yeah, well, it worked. You did it. It was nice. I didn't think everyone was going to kill their pale, long-nailed, red-eyed creature.
The new bloods.
I got scared a little bit there. A
couple people perished. Oh, man.
I mean, yeah. It doesn't matter. We lost two people that week anyway. So, it's cool.
A little friendly fire and a mean specter does a lot to a party.
Really,
especially
does.
A party of first level characters.
Oh, man. It was good. But it was a memorable opening.
Yeah.
Is a thing. Like that's one of those openings to a game that I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that's good. I'm going to remember that shit.
Thank you.
For a while. So, I was very impressed. Very impressed. Especially since it's like you're... Because you say you're, like, so new to DMing and stuff. So, for you to come up with that, like, have everyone, like, on their own and everything.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. So much better than meeting in a tavern, let me tell you.
I tried to avoid that like the plague.
Yeah, so.
You know how many games, like, I've been in or heard of? I mean, that's the go-to. That's where games start.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's where games start and end, in taverns.
Yeah.
Just how it
you
happens.
Retire to a tavern. To drink yourself to death or listen to a bard sing songs about you. That's about it.
Or you buy a tavern.
Or you buy a tavern. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But now we're 2 weeks into your game. And we still haven't got out of fucking Death House. Oh my God.
There has definitely been.
There's been 10 hours of play. I don't think. Man, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this group. Like, the game is fun. Like, I'm enjoying it immensely. My character is fun. It's just 10 hours and we're still in Death House. Fucking crazy. Do you have a reason for that?
Honestly, I mean, I didn't expect certain things. Well, one thing, we have 7 players. That is a huge factor in itself.
Oh yeah.
And which I'm totally cool with. I love it. Like, it's a thrill for me to have that many players, because it puts, you know, my mind to the test, and I have to be able to compensate the setting for that many people, which after the first week, I actually had to.
Yeah, because we're all standing in a fucking hallway.
You know, there's always, it's hallways and then like freaking 15 by 15 foot rooms with, you know, 7 people, freaking 3 of that are just big ass people. I mean, there's no large characters, but I mean, we got a Goliath, we got Androcus, like,
yeah,
there was, you know, it's a tight space. So I actually had to compensate for that, and I doubled the size of the rooms,
which still didn't help that
it
much.
Didn't help. I mean, yeah, they were already so small to begin with.
It was funny,
but then, you know,
like it's like I said, it's a fun game. It's just with 7 people, and then just, I don't want to be an asshole, but I'm going to be an asshole.
There's feuds. There are feuds going on.
It's oh my God. See, what we have here is, I'm all for having new people join the game. And it's not even the people that have never played before that is really the issue kind of thing. It's people. Okay. So in our group, we have role players who role play.
Yeah.
You know, me, Kyle, Andy.
They're the more experienced people.
Yeah. And then we have people that think they're role playing. Really, we have person who thinks he's role playing. And it just, his whole goal is to kill my character. Like, and it's just,
it's not so much his character's goal. As it is, yeah, no, I completely understand.
Yeah,
but he's I'm. We've played multiple games with him, and yeah, he does lean towards a certain alignment, and you know, personality traits. But I don't know. I hope just with time and experience, things will change.
But I am really impressed with how the 2 guys that have never played before, like, they're totally fucking just getting it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, at first, like, like at first when we were all using like funny voices and shit, they were kind of like really quiet. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about these guys.
It's fun though. Like, we get to introduce new players to not only D&D, but the aspect of role playing. And obviously we've talked about this in prior episodes, to where new players have a comfort zone that takes time and experience to kind of break out of.
Yeah, you gotta wear away.
But the best layers. Influence is role players.
Yeah.
When you see everyone else doing it, you don't feel as uncomfortable joining the party as if you were leading the party.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Everyone's just gonna think I'm a dick. Look, D&D is for everyone. I know D&D is for everyone. Okay, look. Yeah, I understand this, but as we said before, like, not when you play D&D with people, like, you're not always gonna get along 100% of the time. It's just one of those things. It's running the risk. I mean, when you hang out with people, you're not going to get along 100% of the time. You know, like, they have different political views than you, or they hate your favorite movie and you can't possibly understand how someone does not like The Dark Knight. I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense. I'm not talking about anyone in this game. I'm just someone I know.
Really?
That The Dark Knight is not the greatest superhero movie ever.
Oh, well, I mean, at first it was just they didn't like The Dark Knight, but then you took it as far as it to being the greatest superhero movie ever.
The Dark Knight is the greatest superhero movie ever. What do you think the greatest superhero movie ever is?
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I don't have a favorite superhero movie.
The Dark Knight,
movie.
There you go.
Like, it's funny because Batman's not even my favorite, like, DC character, but I also don't think any Superman movie in particular is the best superhero movie ever.
Well, yeah, no, because none of the Superman movies have really been good. I mean, none of them. I mean, you look at Batman, I mean, they had, you know, the Michael Keaton Batman and Batman Returns, and then they had the Joel Schumacher, Val Kilmer, George Clooney Batmans that we don't talk about. Those were hot garbage. They were terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then you had the Christopher Nolan trilogy, which was just amazing. Amazing. And I'm not counting Adam West, because that was before my time. You know, I still watch the Adam West Batman TV show and all that stuff, but
you know a lot more about Batman than I do.
Yeah. All I'm saying is The Dark Knight, best superhero movie ever. And Ben Affleck, I had faith in him, and he let me down. Anyway, we're here to talk about Dungeons and Dragons, not Batman. Yeah, nerd alert. So, yeah, you want to talk a little bit about your game? What's going on with it?
So what? Let's see. You guys made it to the base. Well, it's not really a basement. It's more of an underground tunnel system and cult.
Yeah, and
base, I guess you would say.
My character Andrakus almost got fucked by ghouls.
Oh man. So let's tell some people what happened initially. So we have a deep gnome in our party who scouted through like 60% of the first layer.
I know, it was pretty impressive because like he didn't find anything and we're like,
and
wow.
He scored so high on his sneak. Like I think he rolled a 19, and then the only creature he would have encountered, or creatures he would have encountered, and it would have been so bad if he did because he was alone, was the ghouls.
Yeah, because those
and
things are nasty.
Like, I had them hidden in a different way than the campaign book actually portrayed them being. So I didn't want to change that when he was sneaking through. So I rolled a perception for them, and it was just, I mean, it wasn't even a decent roll. It was just so bad, and he snuck right through them. But then, of course, he snuck around to a pitfall trap, which was kind of brutal.
Yeah, we heard that, so we go after him. And then, so we're in a hallway. There are six of us, and or five of us at the time.
Yeah.
In a hallway, and ghouls drop down. Well, my character Andrakus is at the front, so I'm like, okay, I have a 19 AC. I can hold these ghouls off for a turn while everyone backs up out of the hallway and gets in the room so we can actually do something about this. No. First round of combat, I get dropped immediately. It was terrible.
Like, I don't fudge dice rolls. You remember the first day?
You shouldn't. Yeah.
I'll never. Like, and the first day, I couldn't roll above a 5. Or I think it was above a 10. But no matter what, like, how many, I don't know. If we kept track of how many attacks the creatures missed, it had to have been over 20. Because I was rolling so bad. And then in that particular encounter, it was just over 15, over 15, over 15. And that's not counting their bonus to hit. And it was just like hit, and yeah. No. Androgus went down, and it was looking grim.
Yeah, I mean, if it was my game, the ghouls just would have eaten him.
Yeah, but I thought about it, but I didn't.
Then the party would have fell apart, man.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I just felt like they would view this. I mean, there were still surviving party members in their line of sight.
Yeah,
I don't think they would just stop with party members stabbing them or casting spells at them or whatever. Figured they'd kill you and then eat you all.
Yeah, it was rough, but I didn't die. Okay, they won that encounter, and I succeeded my death saving throws, so we're good. And I hate it because it came down to the thing where I had two fails and two successes.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like, oh my god, here we go, here it is. My level 2 character is gonna fucking die.
Honestly couldn't believe I killed 2 characters in my first week. Like, it was my goal. Like, I mean, like I said, I don't fudge dice rolls, but I didn't want to kill anybody. Like,
yeah. I mean, no one wants to kill their players unless they're just done DMing.
I rolled almost max damage on the Spectre freaking life drain.
Oh,
out of like a possible 18, I think I rolled 14. Yeah.
Sorry, Andy. Yeah, it was good. I'm having fun in your game. We'll play tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get out of Death House. But we'll see. Okay, anyway. Moving on. So we also played Andy's game. Andy's game is chugging along. We hunted orcs. Oh, yeah. I just remember what we did, and it's fucking brilliant. Okay, so... we're tracking these orcs, right? Tracking orcs. Well, as we are tracking the orcs' trail, we find a set of giant footprints. And then we get the idea. Let's turn the giants against the orcs. We just slaughtered like 15 orcs. So we had a bunch of orc bodies. So we came up with the idea. We're going to separate one giant, kill it, surround it by orc bodies, make it look like the giant killed them, and then make the giants think that the orcs, you know, blah blah.
Well, and like, just the orc bodies had symbols on them that led to a particular tribe of orcs.
Yeah.
And I mean, we freaking lured a giant out of its cave.
Okay, well, we have to tell that story first. It's amazing.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to, yeah, there's a...
Okay. So we find out where the giants are. We send in the wizard's familiar. Check it out. So there's 7 giants. 5 adults and 2, like, teenage giants. They're, like, 10 feet tall instead of, like, 15 feet tall. Whatever. So we wait until they fall asleep. We send in the wizard's familiar...
Which
is a cat. So it's a cat. This tiny cat is now in this giant lair. It's in this giant's bedroom, basically. It wakes the giant up. And then the wizard casts message to the giant. Speaking in giant, tells the giant the cat is a magical wish-granting cat.
and the giants are so stupid.
The giant believes the cat. Because I rolled, like, a natural 20 deception or something like that.
Yeah, it was super high.
It was, like, a nat 20 deception. Okay, we did deception twice just because it was so crazy.
Yeah.
The giant needed
to. We did it once to make it follow him and then to actually lure him out completely out of the cave.
And one of them was a natural 20.
Yeah.
So we convinced this giant that the cat was a magical wish-granting cat. And then it went outside. And then... our wizard, who is usually played by my fiance, but she couldn't play, so I was playing it, nukes the giant 2 rounds, like friggin' just destroys this giant.
I just want to state, Throck was able to throw a great axe. I mean, Andy, the deal was I did it with disadvantage, and I had rolled with disadvantage. I rolled like an 18 and a 15.
Yeah.
So both were over 20.
You just chucked and I chucked great a great axe
at like 50 feet. I was happy about it.
Yeah, no, it was nice. Yeah, so we kill the giant and then surrounded by orc bodies. Karataka's character takes the giant's great club and smashes the orc's bodies and stuff. It's pretty great.
And, yeah. Freaking, we put in one of the emblems we've taken off the orcs. We put it in the giant's hand. I mean, there's a broken axe with their emblem on it. The freaking orcs are there. I mean, it was a pretty good scene setup.
Yeah, it was fucking perfect. And so we wait until the morning. The giants wake up, find it, and then they march against the orcs. So two elder giants stay behind. The other ones go attack the camp. So there started out being like 100 orcs there. The giants destroyed them, and there were maybe like 15 left.
Something like that.
So the giants eventually die. We go in, mop up the rest.
I mean, they were like, and it wasn't just like they walked up and started like smashing orcs. They were like siege engines. They walked up to the keep, started picking up boulders like catapults, breaking apart the keep and the freaking exterior wall, which we used in our favor later on. And it was an epic battle.
Yeah, no. So basically, we wiped out an entire fort of 100 orcs using 5 giants and espionage. It was great. Important thing is we claimed the keep. We went back to the 2 elder giants, told them that the 5 giants died, showed them that we killed the orcs and avenged their brothers, and then proceeded to roll a 26 on persuasion to get them to be our friends. So
to come make a new home next to our keep and guard it for us. So we lured one out, killed them, set up the other orcs, caused a giant battle of epic proportions, and then persuaded the remaining giants that we were their friends and we wanted them to work for us.
It's a pretty good day, I should say. So we'll get to what happens with that later. Yeah, no. Next week's show, we won't have any game recaps. Or no, we'll have your game recap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't have Andy's game recap because we're not playing. Blah, blah, blah.
We got people leaving out of town.
Yeah. So, good times, though. Good fucking times. I apologize we bored you to death with our game stories, but it's fucking epic, and we're trying to find a way to record them so you can enjoy them with us.
Yeah, live. I think it'd be badass. It will be badass. It will be.
You're right. It will be. Yeah, so last week, I did a solo show where I broke down the races from the new book, Wayfarer's Guide to Eberron. I hope you enjoyed that, especially to the guy in Sweden who just downloaded our entire catalog. Talking to you, buddy.
You're a badass.
I don't know your name.
We'll be out in Sweden one day.
Dude, I was looking at our stats, and I just want to throw out, UK, you're sending us some love, man. Like, we are more popular in the UK than we are in America. That is so strange to me. But it's cool. Hey, we love everyone equally. Except Karataka, because he's evil.
I love everyone equally.
No, episode 5, Karataka is evil. We can't love you equally.
I love everyone I love equally.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense. But this week, we decided to keep along the trend of the player and not so much the DM, and we're going to talk about dragon marks. Ooh. So dragon marks are exclusively an Eberron thing. That doesn't mean you can't take this idea and meld it and homebrew it and fit it in wherever you want, but they are pretty much a pillar of the Eberron universe kind of thing. And they don't just exist. You can actually create a character who has a dragon mark. And there are a couple different ways you can do that. So first off, important note about dragon marks is dragon marks are usually tied to a specific bloodline. there are what is called dragon-marked houses, and those houses have passed on dragon marks through their bloodline for a while now. Not everyone in the family has a dragon mark, but anyone who has that certain dragon mark is from that bloodline. And each dragon-marked family has their own mark. And there goes into a little detail that we get into later. But for creating a dragon mark character, there are some differences in how you would do that, because it does replace some things. And I think Karateka knows about that.
Yeah. So let's see. Is it a background?
There is a background associated. You don't have to use it. But when you create a dragon mark character, certain races lose everything. So I'll break it down. So humans and half orcs. So a dragon mark is actually a variant race. So to replace the normal traits associated with those races altogether, kind of thing. For half elves, it's also a variant race. So basically what you would do is you would replace the standard half-elf traits with the traits associated with your mark from whatever house you're from. Dwarves, elves, gnomes, and halflings, the dragon mark just replaces their sub-race. So you still get everything from, like, the dwarf category, but you lose, like, the mountain or hill dwarf
part.
And then you add on the stuff from your dragon mark. And the background you were talking about, yeah, like you can, if you want to, make your dragon mark character a direct,
like, bloodlined, house marked character.
Exactly. And that's it. So it'll replace, like, you know, like your entertainer, outlander, hermit background thing that you just work for that house. And so you'll still get skill proficiencies. So with your house agent, you get investigation and persuasion. And then you get two tool proficiencies depending on what house you belong to.
Since houses usually specialize in a particular magic spell that they are known for.
So that'll, like, really define your character. Like, making a Dragonmark character as a house agent automatically gives you a backstory, basically. You belong to that house. You do this for this house.
In the Eberron campaign, it gives you fucking good connections.
Oh, God, yes. Like, just from being a house agent, basically anytime you're in a city or a part of Corvair where your house is represented, you always have food and lodging. You always have access to transportation. You always have access to new equipment, and it benefits your entire party. Like, you're the guy that goes to the club and they're like, oh, hey, what's up, Tony? I'm Tony. These guys are with me. Oh, and then they just let all Tony's friends in because he's fucking Tony. That's the house agent.
Well, dragon-marked houses are the closest thing to nobility without being nobility.
Exactly, yeah. They basically are like the movers and shakers of Eberron.
I mean, they typically hold the most powerful magics in the Eberron setting.
Exactly. Like I talked about last week a little bit. I know you weren't here, but like there is a house that controls the Mark of Healing. The Mark of Healing is their bloodline kind of thing. And they're pretty much the only ones who can perform resurrection magic in Corvair. So they have a monopoly on medicinal healing magics, basically. But yeah. So what we'll do right here is we'll break down a mark. And it'll give you kind of an idea of what a mark entails. Or making a half... We're going to make a half-elf dragon-marked character. So do you want to go over this? You want me to go over this?
Okay, so the mark of detection, which manifests exclusively in half-elves, you get an ability score increase, a skill versatility, and languages. It replaces those things. I apologize. It replaces the languages given in the player's handbook. Instead of the ability scores you would normally get, you get an intelligence and charisma score increase of 1 and an additional score increase of 1 of your choice. You get a racial feat known as deductive intuition, which makes intelligence, investigation, or insight checks. You can roll an intuition die, which starts out as a D4, which is super badass, which because what it becomes later. And you can add that number to the ability check.
So that's really the big thing with dragon-marked characters, is you get these things. Like, each mark is, you know, it specializes in a certain, like you said, school of magic, a certain trade kind of thing. So this mark of detection, anytime you do an investigation check or an insight check, you get to add your intuition die to it. And every mark has different abilities or skills that they get to add that intuition die to. So not only can you become, you know, trained in these skills, I mean, because just from being a house agent background, you're trained in investigation and persuasion. And then so if you are a mark of detection half elf.
So not only do you get the proficiency bonus, you also get the racial feat bonus.
And yeah, you get that D4 on top. You get your intuition die. See, no other characters except Dragonmark characters get intuition dies. I mean, but it's not, you know, like, that's not something like, oh, well, now I'm only ever going to play Dragonmark characters when I play Eberron. Like, that's not the thing, because they're losing all the other racial stuff.
Yeah.
So they're not just, you know, like, you know, getting bonuses to everything. They're losing everything else.
As well, in a good campaign, being a house member comes with responsibilities.
Exactly.
You don't just get to be like, oh, I'm a dragon marked house member, but I also do whatever the fuck I want. That's not how it works.
Yeah, no. Your party's going to be like, oh, we need to leave on this skyship right now to track down that guy that stole all our gold. And then all of a sudden,
the leader of your house is like, actually, I need this done. I need it done ASAP, and it takes priority. And you don't really have a say in the matter.
Yeah, I mean, because especially when you first start out, you're not going to be, you know, super high ranking in your house.
You're not going to be like some, like, general, in quotations,
yeah, you're
of your house.
Like, you're like coffee bitch.
Yeah.
Like, there's the table of, like, jobs you have for your house, but it doesn't mean that you're in charge of that part of the house. Like, you are still a very low-ranking member.
I'm going to need you to travel to the jungle of Kabara and pick these mushrooms for me, because I need them, because they go good in my tea.
But why? Just do it. Yeah, like, that's how it is. I mean, that's... So,
Dragonmark characters... There's always give and take, yeah.
Exactly. Like, Dragonmark characters are cool. They seem super strong until you start to, like, pick apart what it is, and you're like, oh, shit, okay.
I mean, they can be badass if you're willing to play a dragon-marked person in an Eberron campaign and the responsibilities it comes with.
Exactly.
And then, of course, if you do play that character and you do these missions for your house, become a more important person, opening up, you can open up a lot more opportunities for you and your party.
Yeah, and they go into advancing in houses and stuff in the Wayfarer's Guide to Eberron. So, have you bought it yet? Have you guys bought it yet? Because you should buy it. You should buy it. Oh, yeah. Before that tangent, the Mark of Detection also gets Sense Threats as a racial ability. So, you can cast Detect Magic and Detect Poison Z spells, but only as rituals. And Intelligence is your spellcasting abilities for these. So, boom. Detect Magic right out of the gate.
I mean, and as a ritual, no spell slots included.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. And of course, you can read, write, common, and elvish, because why not? Yeah, so you can see from breaking down this mark how it affects your character. So let's actually do the mark of healing, just because I talked about it before. So the mark of healing manifests exclusively on halflings. See, that's so weird to me. Like, I don't know why it's weird, but it's weird. So yeah. So if your character has the mark of healing, that is your subrace. You don't get, you know, like a stout halfling or lightfoot halfling and dragonmark halfling. You're just a dragonmark halfling with a mark of healing. Your wisdom score increases by 1. So, I mean, hey, it's good for a cleric or a druid or whatever. They also get medical intuition. So anytime they do a medicine check, that's when they get to use their intuition die. So I'm saying this family has basically a monopoly on healing magics. House Jurasco. Jurasco. Remember that. That's important. They also get healing touch. As an action, you can draw power from your dragonmark to spend one of your hit dice and revitalize yourself or a creature you touch. You roll the die, add your wisdom modifier, and regain that number of hit points. You can do that once per rest kind of thing. So that's pretty cool. So you can see from those two examples how dragonmarks affect creating your character. Which, it's basically like it's a variant or a subrace. It's basically what it is. It just comes with more. I think it comes with more of role-playing fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you get a lot more character development out of being in a dragonmarked house than you do just by saying, oh, I'm a dwarf born in the mountains, you know?
Say you use the mark of healing. Say you are a dragonmarked house of Jurasco, and all of a sudden some important NPC is sick, and you have to go travel and heal him. That's your mission.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you gotta do.
It's like, we have a very rich guy. His name is Donald J. Lump, and he needs some healing, and we don't feel like going, so you're new, you go. It's just how it happens, man. Yeah.
But you do get to ride a dinosaur.
But, well, no.
I know.
But yes, there are halflings.
We will talk about that later, because it's so fucking badass.
It is cool. It is badass. But you thought dragon marks were done? That's all? Oh, no. No. So let's say I make a dragon marked character, right? Let's say I just leveled up to level 8.
As if it wasn't a prerequisite.
Yeah. Let's just say I did that. And let's say I don't know whether I want to do an ability score increase or get my 8th level feat. Karataka, what would you do leveling up at level 8 dragonmarked character?
I mean, if you picked the right dragonmark for the type of character or class you're building, I would definitely take the greater dragon mark.
Greater dragon mark? What's that?
So it ups your intuition die from a d4 to a d6.
Wait, so you're telling me that if I make a House Jurasco halfling with the mark of healing, every time I make a medicine check, I also roll a d6?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Holy shit. What else happens? Yeah. Does anything else happen? Because that's great.
So you also get an ability score increase of 1.
Yeah, but what ability score?
Anyone you want.
Holy fucking shit. That's amazing.
But it cannot exceed 20.
Oh, that's important. Fuck.
That's always a rule.
All my stats are 20, don't you? This is useless. But yeah, whatever. And then, oh shit, I separated this accidentally. Did you know that with the greater Dragonmark fee, you also learn a set of spells, each of which you can cast once without expending a spell slot or using a material component? And with the list of spells, the spellcasting ability for them, and the type of rest you must complete to regain these spells are shown on the greater Dragonmark benefits table, which is in the Wayfarer's Guide to Eberron? That was a long ass question.
Dude, that is so badass though, because that was badass. That was one of our initial intro questions. You don't have to be a spellcaster. If you want to be a fighter that's not an Eldritch Knight or a barbarian or a rogue that's not a trickster, like whatever the case may be, if you are a Dragonmark's character later on down the road, you can pick up some spells.
Yeah, so let's say you are House Jorasco, Halfling, Mark of Healing, Rogue. Well, you take Greater Dragonmark, you now get Mass Healing Word and Greater Restoration. The spellcasting ability is Wisdom, but you get those two spells and you're a rogue just because you have a Dragonmark. And you took that badass feat to level 8. We went over the Mark of Detection. If you take this feat at level 8, you get the spell See Invisibility and True Seeing. Man, that's sick.
Yeah.
It's badass.
Because about that level, about 8 level characters, invisible characters become a bitch.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I fucking hate invisibility. I mean, I love it when I'm doing it, or when someone I'm playing with is doing it. But yeah, the first time that happens to you as a player,
when you're attacked by
an invisible creature, like you get pissed and you're like, that fucking DM is a fucking cheater. I hate him. I'm never playing in his game again. Fuck this shit. I'm going home. And then you realize the DM is your ride home. So you're like, okay.
The very first campaign I ever played in when I was 12, 13, however old I was, we were attacked by some type of invisible, this was 3.5 edition, some type of invisible fairy creature.
And he never played again.
And yeah, it was bullshit. Because you can't fucking attack it back. I mean, we were like, maybe level 2? Maybe, yeah, I mean, we might have been still being level 1. It was so long ago, I can't remember.
That sucks. No one likes that. Stop doing that, DMs.
But the best part about it, I mean, it was still bullshit, but the barbarian at the time tried to attack it and rolled a nat 20.
There we go. Good job, barbarian.
And the DM almost shit because that wasn't supposed to happen. The creature was just supposed to attack us and then get away.
Oh, well, DM, stop making plans. Shit's going to go wrong.
That is a fucking... That's the truth. That is...
Stop making plans.
Words to live by, because nothing goes as planned ever.
Yeah, no.
Not ever. Even in a railroaded campaign.
In my 13 years of DMing, I don't think I've ever done a campaign that went how I planned it. I don't know if that just means I suck or if you just never planned.
I don't care if you have a freaking doctorate in psychiatry and you think you know the human brain or, you know, people's emotions or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you get
you
some
do not
fuckers,
know people.
Yeah, you get some fuckers some dice and some magic abilities and shit's going to go weird. It's just going to happen.
I remember, this is getting off topic. I'm going to say this really super quick. I remember one of the first games I played in with you. And I had to go to another bar and cause a type of distraction. And so I went to the second, I got a room. I went to the second floor. I set the bar on fire and jumped out the window and left.
See, you get some fuckers, some dice, and some magic abilities, and shit's going south. That's just how it works, man. Like, seriously, dude, okay. If someone woke up tomorrow with the abilities of Spider-Man, that motherfucker would be butt-ass naked, swinging from buildings, and there's not shit you could do about it because he's Spider-Man. Like, comic books don't
understand. The true Spider-Man, like, to his full potential. Movies nowadays completely dumb it down. He's one of the strongest superheroes.
Exactly.
Meaning he's super fucking fast. Just his running speed, his jumping, like his ability to jump, like he can jump, you know, from building to building. He doesn't even need to use webs. Like,
yeah, that dude's not going to be a superhero.
Full potential. Like, yeah.
If a regular human gets superpowers, they're not going to be a superhero. They're going to fuck shit up and do it for money.
And that's why we don't get superpowers.
No.
Because if there is some higher being out there, he's looking down on us and being like, yeah, these motherfuckers don't give shit.
There's okay, there is at least one person who is not agreeing with me right now. They're listening to us right now. And they're like, nah, dude, if I had superpowers, I would be a superhero.
I say that shit all the time.
Okay.
But I also know myself.
Exactly.
I'm not saying I'd be like chaotic evil, to put it in D&D terms.
My whole thing is, if you find out you have superpowers, the first thing you do is not become a super. I'm not saying that you won't become a superhero, person who's disagreeing with me. I'm not saying that at all. But you damn well know the very first 24 hours you have your superpowers, you are flaunting that shit and doing the craziest shit you can think
of. We already talked about Spider-Man. He fought the school bully and made him look like a punk bitch.
I know. I mean,
there's no way any human could pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, if all of a sudden I get the ability to fly, I'm not immediately going to be like, how can I help people with this? I'm going to be like, holy fucking shit, how fast can I go? Hold my beer.
Like, then, how fast, how far, how high into the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to fly up, turn into an icicle, and then fucking fall? And
before you become a superhero, you do stupid shit. And that's what happens when people play D&D. Before you become the hero, you do stupid shit. That's just how it happens. But wait, there's more. Karataka, let's say I don't want to make a dragon-marked character. I get to like level 4, and then Billy made a dragon-marked character, and his dragon mark's so cool. Am I fucked, or is there something I can do?
I'm pretty sure there's these things called aberrant dragon marks.
Please, tell me more. What prerequisites do I need to get an aberrant dragon mark? I'm just playing like that stupid guy like in the infomercials to just ask the obvious questions.
I'm pretty sure there's no prerequisites to become an aberrant dragon marked character.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Poof.
So boom. I just need to level 4 and that's it?
You can be level 2.
No, it's a feat.
So there is a prerequisite.
No. Yeah. So aberrant dragon marks, they exist.
Oh.
We have a neighbor moving.
Our studio is getting broken into.
Yeah.
Not really.
No. But this is what happens. I leveled to level 4. Billy's playing a Dragon Mark Jurasco halfling, and I'm pissed because I want a Dragon Mark. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get an aberrant Dragon Mark. My constitution goes up by 1. Maximum of 20. Of course. Because we're not all awesome. That's how it happens. And then you learn a cantrip from the sorcerer spell list. In addition, you choose a first level spell from the sorcerer spell list.
Back to that whole, like, not being a spellcaster thing. To get a cantrip, which, if you're not a spellcaster and you get a cantrip, that's fucking awesome. Because you can just cast if you wanted. And then a first level spell?
Yeah, that's pretty legit.
Like, I'm a barbarian. Like, I'm a full-fledged fucking zealot barbarian. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm casting fucking spells.
Yeah. It's sick. And it's the sorcerer spell list.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many spells.
So you're getting fucking Firebolt and
Magic Missile?
Magic Missile. Magic Missile never misses.
But there is a catch. There is a catch, Billy. I mean, no, Billy's the asshole who made the Dragonmark character. There's a catch, Cam. Listen. So, you can only cast that spell once per long rest. And Constitution is your spellcasting ability, because that's what goes up by 1, so it just makes sense. You can increase the power of that spell by using a hit dice. So you take one of your hit dice away. So let's say you're level 4. You have 4 hit dice. You're like, I want to cast Magic Missile 2nd level. So now you have 3 hit dice left. After you cast that spell, you roll that hit dice and take that much damage.
Now back to that whole barbarian thing. Say you're a level 8 barbarian and you got a lot of hit points to spare and you just want to fuck around and do some crazy shit.
You want to cast a level 9 magic missile?
No, I mean, this has got to be level 9.
That's all your hit dice.
But say you want to, you know, cast level 6. Cast level 6 magic missiles. Six hit dice. You want to go fucking full Gundam and...
So you're going to take 6d12.
But you could roll ones. Like, you never know what you're going to roll. Yeah. It's not 12 ones. Times 6 and that's how much damage you take. I mean, you could roll super shitty. It'd kind of suck if you rolled 6 fucking 12s. That'd be pretty shitty. But
that magic missile we want to
remember.
But
you'd be the most badass barbarian anybody in Eberron has ever seen.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Because freaking anything above 4th level spell slots is like,
I mean, even in Eberron.
I mean, yeah, 4th and 5th is like.
Yeah. It's like, who can do that? Fucking master over there.
Yeah. But you cast a 6th level spell and you're fucking legend.
Like, yeah. Now, Aberrant Dragon Marks, you do inherit a flaw with them. So, and that's like a random table you can roll on, or your DM can come up with one kind of thing. There's a thing. Because the story behind Aberrant and Dragon Marks is...
It's more of a curse?
Yeah, and they popped up before the war a lot. And the leader of the Aberrants got so powerful, he could basically level mountains by himself. And then something happened with the mourning that kind of wiped them out. And they haven't really seen a lot of Aberrant and Dragon Marks. But now the effect, another side effect of the mourning is they're starting to pop up more. So the War of the Marks wiped them out. The mourning who ended the last war started making them pop up again. Is what I meant to say, but I fucked up. But I said it right that time, so I'll just cut the rest of it out. But yeah, so
there's gonna be a whole episode on the morning.
Oh yeah, is that what we're gonna do?
I mean, that's just the most badass place.
Yeah.
And by badass, I mean horrid and dangerous and
perfect for DMs.
Perfect, like it is a fucking playground of. Demons, devils, aberrations, fiends, whatever the hell you want. I mean, there's the demon wastes and stuff or whatever, but anything. And they're mute. It says everything is mutated.
You just got so excited.
Dude, like everything.
We're talking about superheroes a lot.
Yeah. But,
my brain.
Dude, that is a homebrew heaven. When it comes to monsters.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because nothing is as it was. The morning has changed everything.
It was super dramatic. I don't even know.
Thank you.
I can't fuck around anymore. Killed my sleep. No. But yeah, that was Dragon Marks. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dragon Marks. Hope you enjoyed that. Have any of you started an Eberron game? Are any of you playing in an Eberron game? Did you make a dragon-marked character, or did you not know about it because Tavern Tussle hadn't told you yet? No, I'm just kidding. I try to sound tough, but I'm not. Next up, I need that Knot and Jester Detective Agency Sheriff.
Oh, my God. You don't know how tempted I was. Mm-hmm. I literally just bought the Mighty Nine t-shirt. And then the next episode, they were like, yeah, we released this new Knot and Jester Detective Agency shirt. And I was like, yeah, no, that's fucking cool because I need that too.
They're back in stock, dude. And Beetle and Grimm's Pandemonium Warehouse is revealing the contents of their boxes on Thursday, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this, the day we post it. That's crazy. I'm so excited to see what's in that thing. Because Matthew Lillard follows us on Twitter.
Dude.
Oh, man.
But it's going to be even more tempting now.
It is, because we're going to know what's in it.
And we're going to need it.
Before, I was like, man, I want that real bad.
Real bad.
And like, but now that I'm going to see what's in it, like after I actually know what's in it, I'm like,
you're going to be like, I need that real bad.
I want that real bad.
Like I wanted it before, but now I need it real bad.
Yeah. I mean, I just, oh man. Matthew Lillard, friend, compatriot, fellow Twitter follower. We follow you too. It's fine. Send us one. Just kidding. Well, like, unfollows us tomorrow. Yeah. God damn it. No, but yeah. But yeah. Do you have any last minute thoughts?
Yes. I feel like we miss something every time we close this out when we're like, you know, you can contact us on, you know, Twitter at Tavern Tussle, Gmail. Yeah. Email us at Gmail, not Gmail us. Or maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
Hey, Gmail is peeps.
And it's like, yeah, you know, tell us what you think. Tell us what you hate. Like, what? Seriously.
Whoa, I can't handle that.
No. Like, seriously, if you have, I mean, constructive criticism is a good thing. If you're just like, fuck you, you're dirty pieces of shit, like, cool, that's whatever. I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings, but I mean, you can send that and I'll get a good laugh out of it.
Dude, that'd
but,
be epic.
Like, if seriously, just all of a sudden got all this if you have email. Some constructive criticism or, you know, you want to make points about things that you think are bad about our show or whatever the case may be, like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, good job, guys, or, oh, like, you know, it doesn't have to be positive remarks, because negative remarks, you learn from negative remarks. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, hit us up. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you actually think. 100% honesty is open here. Like,
man, Karada could just call it out all you trolls.
Oh, I fucking love trolls. Oh, yeah, huh. I'll have a heyday. So
there we go.
Come and get it, boys.
If we get or it, if we girls. Get, if we get at least 10, no, if we get 5 hate emails, we'll do a mailbag show going in depth of those emails.
Oh, I'm please. I'm so excited.
Matthew Lillard's the first one to send us anything. So, the call is out. If you want to talk shit to Karataka and me, email us taverntussle@gmail.com.
Yes.
If you like what we're doing, follow us on Twitter at Tavern Tussle. We have some announcements coming out, not next week, but the week after. In the middle of August is when we'll kick off all our plans we have for August.
Yeah, and we've been working on it a lot.
I'm super excited.
We just wanted to make sure we were fully prepped before we started doing anything more.
Exactly, and just this Eberron guide is thick.
Yeah.
There's so much to it.
Oh, man. It's, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's amazing. Don't get me wrong.
It is good.
But it is. I'm trying to, like, when I read something, I don't just read it. I don't want to just read it and be like, yeah, I think I can remember about 10% of what I read. Like, I want to soak in all it has to offer because it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, no, I read that Dragonmark chapter like 4 times and I could not fucking remember the House of Healing name. I had to look it up while we were recording. I was like, whatever. But yeah, send us your hate, send us your love, send us your tired, your weary, your poor, whatever. Watch out for Gen Con tomorrow. Beetle and Grimm's Pandemonium Warehouse. Look out for what they're doing because it's going to be epic and it's going to change your D&D game table forever for a price. So yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for listening this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you come back next week. I love you so much. And from the bottom of Karataka's cold, dark, empty recess, he thanks you. And as always, we hope you have a wonderful week.